What do we know about sequencing these in terms of responses to one after the other?
There are very few data right now about sequencing, but probably that's the way they're going to be used. I think that medical oncologists, as they start to use these drugs in their practice, will realize, number one, that they're simple for patients to take. They have side effects, but in reality, the patient can take them and still lead a relatively normal existence. They will experience some fatigue and some other non-hematologic side effects, but overall, in our experience, when we've had people take these for over 2 years and still work and lead productive lives, it becomes clear that they're very desirable ways of treating this particular cancer because they slow down progression. Now, unfortunately, they're not curing the disease, but they are slowing it down. So the concept has arisen, well, if a patient fails, for example, sorafenib, why not then move him to the next kinase inhibitor, sunitinib? We thought on the face of it that there would be resistance, that those patients wouldn't respond if you move them to a second kinase inhibitor. But two papers at this meeting really suggested that that's not the case. One looked at patients treated with bevacizumab, and then they were treated with sunitinib. And in that case, it's clear that there were about 60% of patients who had decreases in their tumor, and some about 15% had measurable tumor decreases that by RECIST criteria. Also, our group presented a series of data on patients who had had treatment with one tyrosine kinase inhibitor, like sunitinib or sorafenib, and then were placed on the other after they progressed. We found a series of patients who clearly responded to the second tyrosine kinase inhibitor. So it raises the question of what is the resistance mechanisms here, and that was discussed a little bit in one of the clinical science sessions, but the reality is we don't have an idea of what the resistance is because it's not a genetic phenomenon currently. These normal genes don't seem to mutate. It may well be a kinetic phenomenon or maybe an expression phenomenon related to overexpression of a number of genes. And I think that when docs in the community start to treat patients with these drugs, they have to understand that there is no exact duration of treatment that's recommended. Because ordinarily, we use progression of the disease as the indicator to stop a drug or to start a new drug. Here, although disease progression is looked for, we don't necessarily use that as an indicator to stop treatment or to change treatment. We have continued on in many of these clinical trials that have been presented at this meeting with the same kinase inhibitor in the face of progressive disease, should the patient not have new symptoms or be symptomatically worse, in other words. The assumption there being that continued inhibition of the VEGF pathway is the important part, right? And if you take that inhibition away very quickly without providing another way to inhibit that pathway, whether it's Avastin or another kinase inhibitor, you could have deleterious effects. And so some of these folks are receiving these inhibitors for long-term treatment. These are all speculative concepts. Nobody knows for certain yet what to do, and they're anecdotes at this point in time. But I think sequential therapy with these drugs is indeed something to look at very seriously and something that may be a useful concept.